want to greet each one in Jesus' name this evening. Count it to be a privilege to be again with you. Appreciated the devotions and about that treasure that we have in earthen vessel. And that treasure is something that it's a gift that we have, and it is the truth. It's the truth of God's word. Something that is very precious to us. Something that is missing in today's world many times. When Brother Joe called me and asked me if I would come, and he had two topics to choose from. And the one was taken from Isaiah chapter 59, where it says, "Truth is fallen in the street." And that piqued my interest maybe a little bit, and I decided to look at truth. But I recognize that there's much more that could be said than what I will say tonight, and I feel maybe inadequate to cover this subject about truth. But it is one that I feel that is very important. It's one that's maybe dear to my heart because there are so many, you might say, flavors of truth in this world today. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59, and let's just look at that before we go on. Isaiah chapter 59, let's begin reading with verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth other eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither just justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." Then it goes on, verse 16, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him." So looking back here in verse 14 is where the verse is taken from. "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." You know, Isaiah is writing this. He's at a time when the children of Israel had turned away from the Lord, and they were ripe for judgment. The Babylonians were, God was getting ready to call the Babylonians or to come to the children of Israel and to destroy them. And it says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God," in verse 2. And it seemed like there was a time of turmoil in the time of the life of the children of Israel. And he describes it as, "Judgment is turned away backward, justice standeth far off, truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." But you know, the children of Israel were God's chosen people. They were people that were supposed to have truth on their side. They were the people that had the revelation from God given through Moses. But yet it says, truth is fallen in the street. And with that, equity, which it means equality or justice, cannot enter. You know, that is a result of truth being fallen, is that judgment is backwards. What should be right is wrong, and what should be wrong is right. Justice is afar off. Departing from evil makes your prey to those that love evil. And, you know, as we look in today's world, we can see elements of that, where it seems like that is the case. And, you know, we live in the world where truth is almost like you wonder what is truth. There are so many voices in the world, and you wonder, where is truth? And I think at the time of Isaiah, there was also this question as well. You know, Elijah, as he was running from Ahab, and he was hiding. And then he came, and he had the, if I'm thinking of the story right, he had the event on Mount Carmel, where they had the offering of God, and God came down in the fire. And then he ran away into the wilderness. And then God talked to him, and he said, I am the only one he said, I alone am your servant, and where is all the righteous? And God told him there's still, you know, several thousand that were naming the name of Christ. You know, it was a time when truth seemed to be missing and lacking, but they were to be God's chosen people. You know, where was truth? Where was the God of truth? You go earlier into the life of the children of Israel, and there was other times where truth seemed to be lacking, the truth of God's word and truth of God's promises. You know, the children of Israel, as they came out of the wilderness and they went into came to the brink of Jordan, getting ready to cross into Canaan, and Moses took 12 of the men of Israel, the rulers of Israel, and sent them into Canaan. And they were to spy out the land. And they came back, and 10 of them brought an evil report of the land. And Caleb and Joshua, they said no. They said, this is wrong. We can go in and we can enter the land. Somewhere, the truth of God's provision had fallen. The truth of what God was able to do for them. They were not able, the children of Israel had forgotten that. That was destroyed. You know, they said, you brought us here so that we would die in the wilderness. And they wondered, where was truth? You know, then going on into the life of the children of Israel as they came into the time of the judges. And getting towards the end of the book of Judges, it says there was no king of the land in the land. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And we see the turmoil and the sorrow that it brought, if you read in Judges, that it brought to them because of that. You know, they may have wondered, where is truth? You know, and as we think of that today, we could ask the same questions. You know, we have the internet, we have Google, and Google is supposed to bring all the information of the world together to that. You can, if you want truth, you should be able to go to Google and you should be able to find it. But where is truth? You know, there's a lot of information out there. But you know, the information that you read may be true and maybe not be true. And so you have all the media that comes through, and then you have the different sites called like Fact Check, Snopes, PolitiFact, where they try to determine what is truth and what isn't truth. And then you have bias checks that check the fact checkers to see if they're actually true. And you wonder, what is truth? And then we have Truth Social that came out to give the truth. But is that truth? You know, so as we look at truth, what is truth? You have truth versus knowledge. A definition of knowledge is a clear and certain perception of that which exists, of truth or fact. So knowledge is simply the knowing of truth. Paul said to Timothy, he talked about these men that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I think we can see that today. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know, so what is truth? You know, Pilate asked Jesus when Jesus was there before him. Pilate asked Jesus, said, "What is truth?" Pilate was wondering, what is truth? There was different voices coming to him. But you know, he asked that question, but yet he turned around and walked away and did not wait to hear Jesus or to find out truth. The definition of truth is the state or quality of being true or in accordance with fact or reality. So it's the state or quality of being true or in accordance with fact or reality, the way it really is. But you know, you can have two people recount an incident and you can get two different stories. Or you can, if you have three people, you might have three different stories. And especially if there is, you know, if there's fault involved, then the stories can really change. And so you wonder what actually happened. Well, you know, as you think of truth, I think the first thing we need to recognize is that God is truth. Truth comes from God. John MacArthur wrote in a book called The Truth War, and I'd say this, that I don't know a lot about John MacArthur. I don't know a lot about his theology, but I don't think I would agree with a lot of his theology. But he wrote a definition of truth that he uses in his book. He says, "Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Even more to the point, truth is a self-expression of God." You know, I think we need to recognize that God is truth and that all truth comes from Him and is a part of His expression. There is no deceit in God. There is no lie in God. Lying and deceit come from a nature that is opposite from God, comes from Satan. John 14:6 says, Jesus, that He is, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Psalms 25, verse 10 says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimony." All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. You know, in today's world, as they think about truth, many people, today's world, have a tendency to think that truth is relative. It depends on your background. It depends on your environment. It depends on the circumstances. But truth is not relative. Truth is true. And as we think about God, the truth of God and about His character and about His holiness is true. You know, God's will for your life and His will for my life may be different. But the truth of His holiness, the truth of His attributes, His standard of righteousness does not change between you and me. It remains the same. Sometimes facts change depending on situations, but truth relating to God and to His character, truth in relating to His holiness, does not change. A characteristic of God is that He is immutable, which means unchanging. In Malachi 3, verse 6, God said in His own words, He said, "I change not." And it is impossible for God to lie, because God is true. It is impossible for Him to present an untruth. But then some people may ask the question that if God is truth and doesn't change, then why is there a difference in the way the Old Testament they were commanded to go to war, and in the New Testament we're commanded to love our enemies? Well, that is the difference in the covenant between the old and the new. In the old covenant, the children of Israel were God's chosen people, and they were God's chosen people that were a separate nation from among the nations of the world. And as God's chosen people, as God's separate people and nation, as a nation, God brought judgment on their enemies around them through His people. But the new covenant changed that to where, rather than God's chosen people being a special people, that was a demographic group, it is a God's chosen people from among the nations of the world. A kingdom that is not of this world, but that is that is of God. In the Old Testament, the command to love your neighbor as yourself was as relevant as it is in the New Testament as well. So how can we know truth? How did truth become fallen in the time of Isaiah? You know, in Romans and in other parts of the New Testament, it talks about truth being fallen as well, to not those same words, but it describes the condition of fallen man. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Here Paul gives a description of a people that, you know, they should have been able to know truth through creation. But he says they held the truth in unrighteousness, and so professing them to become wise, they became fools. They changed the truth of God into a lie. In 2 Thessalonians 2, he says that he sent them a strong delusion that they may believe a lie. And so as we see in the time of Isaiah, the truth was fallen in the street because they had rejected God. They had walked away from God. They had walked away from what they knew was truth and what they knew was right. And the same thing will happen today when we reject God, reject truth. Have some questions about truth now we can ask ourselves. How important is it to know truth? You know, in some areas, it can make, maybe the truth may make a minimal difference. In things of this life, maybe there's a higher calling that God has for us than to know truth about the factual actuality about things. But in other areas, the knowledge of truth or the lack of knowledge of truth can have eternal consequences. Another question, do we sometimes deliberately choose to ignore or not know truth? Or are we deceived? Deceived is to think something is true and it's not. You know, the Bible has warnings about being deceived. And there are several instances where he specifically says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, and those are areas where in the world today, where deceit is out there, where a lack of truth abounds. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And be not deceived, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Another question, are we afraid of the truth sometimes? Maybe because of the implications of knowing the truth. And we may think it's more comfortable not to know the truth. But you know, sometimes when that truth has eternal consequences, then we do well to know the truth. Another question that some people have is, how can we know the Bible is true? And that is a question that can only be answered through the eye of faith. It's a question that can only be answered as you experience the teachings of the Bible. Experience, apply the Bible to your life. Apply the truth of the gospel to your life. And then you become convinced without a shadow of a doubt that it is true. But it can only be experienced through faith. The Bible itself says without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to know that the Bible is true. Another question, do we need to know all truth? I think Paul talks about ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know, when we seek to know all truth, or rather when we question truth, and there's just a question, are we seeking to become like gods as Adam and Eve did in the garden when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? But another question, can we commit the keeping of truth to the one who is truth, to God? And I believe it's right to seek out truth. But you know, if we can never accept truth, if we can get on a dangerous territory when we have this critical thinking of the Bible, of the scriptures, and we seek to go on a quest for truth, that Satan can be right there to inject deceit and lies, thinking that it is truth. So the other question might be, where do we go for truth? Where do we seek for truth? Do we go to the source of truth, to God's word? Or do we look for truth through the lens of others? You know, truth is found in the one who is true, and that is God. And as we seek to know him, he guides us into all truth through the Spirit of truth, through the Holy Spirit. But if we look at truth, look for truth only through the lenses of others, that lens may be distorted. You know, if you look at an object through the water, the object is distorted. It's not always where you think it will be. And if you go bow fishing or things like that, you realize that the fish isn't where it looks like it always is. And so if we look at truth through the lens of other people, it may not be where it is. So as we search for truth, we need to go to the source of truth. David said in Psalms 25, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Lead me in thy truth. Indicates a journey. For God to lead us, we must walk, we must follow him. We must walk in obedience. You know, the children of Israel, as they journeyed through the wilderness, as they followed God and as they followed him and they submitted to his will and they walked in faith, then they could know truth when it came to the land of Canaan. But you know, some of them as they journeyed, they murmured and they doubted God. And so they followed him physically, but they did not follow him in their spirit. And when they came to the land of Canaan, they were not able to overcome. They were not able to accept the truth that God was able to deliver them. To know truth, we must walk in and obey the truth that we know now. And as we walk in that truth, the Spirit is there to guide us into all truth. So how can we know truth? 4 points that I have of how we can know truth. And the first is through God's word. In John chapter 6, I believe it is, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The truth or the way to God is through Jesus. And then in John 8, 31 and 32, he says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And Jesus, as he prayed that God would sanctify them, his disciples, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so if we want to know the truth about God, want to know the truth about him, be students of the word. Immerse yourself in the word of God. Learn to know him through the word of God. You know, where do you spend your time acquiring truth about God and about life? The more time you spend in God's word, the more truth you'll know about life. You know, other sources can be helpful, but they must be through the lens of God's word. The more time we spend away from God's word and the less time we spend from God, in God's word, it can distort our view of truth. You know, Paul commended the Bereans as he was teaching them. He commended them because they examined what he said with the scriptures to see if those things are right. The second way that we can know truth is through creation. You know, Jesus taught many things about truth in his teachings through creation. And there is much that we can learn about creation, learn about God through creation. Paul says in Romans 1:20, he says that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He says that even as they look at nature, they should be able to know about God and about his eternal power and Godhood. You know, Jesus, as he taught in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about the sparrow. He talks about the care of the Father for his creation. And Solomon, back in Proverbs, he refers to the ant. Consider her ways and be wise, how it prepares for the winter, and that seed time and harvest will come. And as we look at creation, we can also see the frailty of man and man's mortality. And so we can learn a lot about truth in creation. But you know, man has also looked at creation, searching for truth. And when they do that without a knowledge of God, then it takes them nowhere. And you can fall into the trap to where you worship the creature more than the creator. And we can even see that today. The third point in how we can learn to know truth is looking backwards into history. You know, Genesis 8, verse 22, God said to Adam, he said, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." You know, as we look back through history, we can see that happening. We can see God's provision. We can see how he has provided for mankind and his promises, how they have been fulfilled. In Psalm 77, David says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old." You know, history can teach us a lot about life and a lot about the truth of life. History can teach us that choices have consequences. It can teach us the long-reaching effects of choices that have been made. You know, so if you as an individual, if you wonder about life, wonder about the meaning of life, look back in history. There have been people that have gone that way before. And you can see choices that have been made. Faithfulness, where God has been faithful. It can be a source of wisdom and lead to truth. You know, as you see an individual or as you see a family that is resting in God's word, they're resting in the joy of the Lord, and you observe those choices that they have made, it can be a source of wisdom for yourself and lead you into truth, again, through the light of God's word. The fourth point I have to know truth is through the community of a biblical brotherhood. You know, the Bible was written as men were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote the word of God. And I believe the Spirit also works today. The Holy Spirit works through the lives of men that are in tune with him, and we can know truth as we also verify that through the community of a biblical brotherhood. 1 Corinthians 12. Here he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretations of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and he hath and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. He talks about the community of the brotherhood and the diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And I believe that the Spirit can work through a biblical brotherhood. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Paul in 2 Timothy says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You know, it's within the context of biblical brotherhood that we know our brothers. We know their life. We can trust them. And we can, I believe we can come to an understanding of the truth of God's word and the truth of his will through that. You know, in Acts, in the time of the apostles, there was a dispute about how to relate to circumcision and to other aspects of the ceremonial law. And so they came together. And the brotherhood, as they met together, they came together to establish God's truth about the ceremonial law and things required for salvation. You know, you may ask the question, where is experience in all this? You know, my experience usually is what it refers to. Does experience show us truth? You know, the experience that we have as we experience salvation, experience forgiveness of sin, experience redemption, and the working of the Holy Spirit in our life to have victory over sin, that can confirm us of truth, but you know, only as it lines up with the Word of God and other sources of knowing truth. You know, Peter, and when he was writing, he said he was talking about Jesus' transfiguration. And he said, you know, we've seen him in the Holy Mount. This was our experience. But he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And that was from the Holy Scriptures written by men of old as are moved by the Holy Spirit. So our experience must line up with the Word of God and with other sources of truth. Lastly, how do we promote truth? You know, 1 Timothy 3:15, as Paul writes to Timothy here, First Timothy 3:13. But if I tarry, verse 14, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, I believe that's one purpose of the church of God, is to show God's truth to the world around them. He says that how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So as the church of the living God, how do we promote truth? Because we are to be pillars of the truth. So I have 3 points I have in that. To promote truth as a church of the living God, we must be lovers of truth in all areas. We can hardly promote truth in one area when we are careless with truth in other areas. You know, so if I am in my conversation with my neighbor, if I am careless with truth in one area, maybe in the things that's going on in the world around me, if I'm careless with truth in that area, then is he going to believe me when I try to talk to him about the truth of God and about his word? We must be lovers of truth in all areas. And so as we think of that, it encourages us to be careful to pass on, quotes, facts if we don't know the truth. You know, conspiracy theories. Why the Twin Towers fell. Other things that happened in history. And, you know, there's a lot of theories that go around what actually happened. You know, we don't know what happened. And it really probably doesn't matter whether we know or not know. Those are probably truths that are best left to God and to other people. You know, most of the times those theories are just theories. But if we're careless with those, can the world trust us with the truth about God's word? Second point in that to promote truth is that we must be people of integrity. We must be people that are inside what we say we are on the outside. People that are through the week what we say we are on Sunday. People of integrity. And as we think about truth, truth remains without defense. Truth does not need to be defended to remain truth. But we need to stand on the side of truth. And so when truth comes, we don't have to be combative to defend truth because truth will stand. And how many times do we almost lose our doctrine of non-resistance to defend truth? But you know, I believe that as God's people, as we play out non-resistance in our lives, in our everyday area of life, then it's a testament to the truth of the gospel, to the truth of the love of God and of his forgiveness and of his mercy for mankind. And so we must be people of integrity to promote truth. Lastly, we must live in obedience to the truth that we know now, one step at a time, and God will lead us into truth. Truth is best promoted when it is lived out in our lives. But you know, when we deviate from what known truth, when we step away from known truth, it will take us one step at a time into untruth, into deception. I had a conversation with a man looking at a job, and he was... I think at one point he used to be Mennonite, and he was a different denomination. And it would have been part of the mainstream Mennonite church. And he said, I was in a meeting, a minister's meeting. And he said, one of the ministers stood up and he said, when I read Romans chapter 1 towards the end of the chapter, he said, I don't find that authoritative in my life. And so the truth of God's word was no longer relevant to him. And you may wonder, how did they get to that point? How did that minister get to that point? Completely ignoring parts of scripture. It was because they walked in disobedience to little areas of truth that they knew and slowly turned away from the truth of God's word. And so if we're going to promote truth, we must live in obedience to the truth that we know now and follow, and then he will lead us into all truth. Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, he says, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And in John 8:31, he says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth is something that we continue in God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So my prayer is that we would be people of truth, that we could show God's truth to the world around us.